everyone. Welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites. Thank you for returning guests. I appreciate you coming back to learn more about social media in your real estate business. And if you are a first timer to the show, please consider subscribing if you're interested in learning how to apply tactical, strategic social media tips in your real estate business. Today, we are talking with Coach Kyle Draper and his content compounding formula and how to kill it in 2021 with passive branding. I'd love to connect with you on all the socials. You can find me by my name at chelsea.pites. That's P-E-I-T-Z. The best place to find me is on Instagram, where I share weekly tips and strategies on how to up your social media game. Let's get into the show. So excited to have this next guest on the show, Coach Kyle. Welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. Tell everybody who's listening who you are and what you do.
Yes, Chelsea, first of all, thank you so much. It is an honor. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. It is like Christmas morning in my office right now. And so what I do is I have a marketing company where really we help entrepreneurs, realtors, lenders, really anybody that needs social media. We help them kind of bring omnipresence to their brand. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. I pre-COVID was traveling the country speaking, and now I'm a Zoomaholic, and I do a lot of teaching and speaking that way, and it's a lot of fun.
I can totally relate to that. And you know what? I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm okay if I never travel again. I traveled a lot, and I know you do, sure. Too, and conferences and speaking. And I am okay with little travel. So I think that was something I didn't realize that I was going to be excited about.
Yeah, I was excited. Now it's been long enough. So there is a small part of me that's like, can you please let me be on an airplane again and go speak to people? Yeah. I'm a hugger.
You know, miss hugs. I miss hugging people. Yes.
It's hard when you do Zoom trainings, like, mm-hmm. I want to hug people's neck and tell them how great they are and how much they're capable of. Yeah. And we just can't do that right now. So,
well, you know, I think that's a perfect lead into what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about how content is shifting in 2021. And we're going to talk about the big bad word that nobody likes to explain, authentic content. And we're going to talk about exactly what you just said, how this year in 2020 has forever impacted how we're going to be presenting our brands, how content is going to be consumed and received. And much of that, to your point, I miss humans. And so what we're going to be talking about today is this human content. And I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago where I'm like, this is what I'm going to be talking about. We've always talked about human content, but it's really going to shift, I think, in the next 18 months because of what has happened in the last year. So what is your philosophy on sort of content? Because you know what? It is such a confusing topic, right? I mean, I wrote a book called What to Post. I was like, let me just tell you exactly, right? And still it's hard. And it's still sometimes hard for me because I'm like, my gosh, like, I don't know what to do with content. So you have some really amazing ways that you create content, and you have something also called content compounding, which I think everybody needs to know about. So tell us a little bit more about your content strategy.
Yeah. So first of all, Chelsea, as you know, because we don't naturally love social media, at least most people don't. And because, you know, for entrepreneurs, you didn't get into business to have to be good at Facebook. You didn't get into business to have to be great at Instagram. And so I already know that if I give you too many steps, if I make it hard, you've already given yourself an out. And so that's where I started, was just, guys, something is better than nothing, right? Just put stuff out there. You know, and so that's always where I start. And through that, it really becomes just about raw transparency to me.
That's the scary part for people. And that's the hard part. And like, it's so funny. And I can speak personally, and a lot of people don't believe this because they're used to seeing, and it is the real me. And that's the nicest compliment I can ever get. When I actually did travel, people were like, oh my gosh, you are just like you are. Honestly, like, that is me. And it was really hard for me to grasp the concept of, wait, what do you mean you have to be yourself? Like, how do I be myself? That was very foreign to me when I started. So when you go to these conferences and they're like, be authentic, be yourself, be transparent, you're like, okay, but how? So I'm excited you're going to dive into that. So yeah, let's just justify all this. So, like, how are we supposed to show up here?
This is, to me, the most simplistic way to put it. And I think it requires the least amount of effort is just do it one time, right? If we're talking about video, you know, what I love to teach about is the more takes you do, the less and less you become of yourself.
Yes. I love that.
The little quirky mannerisms, the things that you might do with your mouth, like our friends just know those things. And the more and more we try to eliminate it, what we end up putting out there is the so-called finished product. I think the people we hope like it the most are the ones that end up being disconnected from it because they go, that's not the Chelsea that I had a glass of wine with Thursday night.
Right.
Like that's such a different person. And so to me, the answer to that is do it one time.
So simple. I love it. So one take and be done with it.
So the power of that really is I love live video because it forces you to keep going, right? Because you can say one take all day, but if you're in your office pre-recording, the moment you mess up, you're not going to go, I promise myself I was only going to do one. No, you're going to turn it off and you're going to do another one. And so when I'm on live camera, when I miss say a word, I just recover and keep going. If my son or daughter runs through in their underwear, I just recover and keep going. And I think those blunders, they humanize us. So as we're being our authentic self in one take, you know, a kid runs through, boom, you just got reminded that I'm a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife walks through and her butt's in the shot in her yoga pants. And I'm like, honey, you're in my shot. Your butt is in my shot. Like that's reminding people that I'm a husband. And so I think we've almost over-professionalized everything. Mm-hmm. And that's just not what people want, especially with just the disconnect that is the COVID environment that we now live in. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I try to help people find their most authentic selves is just stop overly trying to create and just be.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to admit that live video feels easier to me and always has than recorded video. And so since we're talking about live video, I mean, you obviously can go live on Facebook, you can go live on Instagram. Do you have any good tactics or strategies that you're coaching on right now to really elevate that live video and that, you know, how you're utilizing it? Because I know their algorithms, especially on Facebook, have been really favoring live video for a very long time. So what are your best tips for that particular format?
So the first thing that I try to coach through is like helping them realize you're live by actually like talking directly to the people, you know, so when you see somebody's name pop up to say, what's up, so-and-so, right? Like it just like those little shout outs, you know, I used to explain it to people with like, so I used to be a pastor. And so when I worked with youth, if I had little Billy in the front row, like being a punk, I could call him out. And he'd go, oh, shoot, Pastor Kyle was paying attention to me. And it would straighten him up and keep him focused for the rest of the time. And I think we can accomplish the same sort of thing with Facebook Live or Instagram Live or wherever we're live by actually letting our people know that, man, if I watch Kyle's videos, like he might say what's up to me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to
at least notice, like you're going to notice that they're there. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's my favorite part of doing live video. The second thing that I would say is actually doing it live from your personal page,
mm-hmm.
you know, like where you're actually going to get traction. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much now. Instagram's unique. And I know that's what you're the queen of. I would be more of I love Facebook way more than I enjoy Instagram. And so I watch so many people they're actually putting in the work, they're doing content, but they're doing it all on their business page because at some point someone told them it had to all be separate. And they're like, man, I'm doing videos and they're getting 4 views and I'm doing, you know, and so I think originating it from our personal page is just a the most powerful way to actually get people to pay attention and watch what we're doing.
So with that said, and this kind of leads into our content discussion too, the question I get on a daily basis is, okay, but am I supposed to talk about my work in real estate and on my personal stuff? I mean,
yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of, you know, quote unquote business content. And to be quite honest, I personally feel that educational content is the easiest content that there is, right? Yes. That's one of the easiest ways for us to say, okay, I'm an expert in this and I'm going to make this. And that's a great strategy to build credibility and authority. So with things kind of shifting to this like more human experience, what are you coaching on? Are you saying, yeah, get out there and do your weekly video on X, Y, and Z, or should it be this percentage personal, or how are you kind of coaching that?
Yeah. So my favorite thing is to tell people to eliminate business and personal posts. Like that does not exist. At least it shouldn't, right? You are a human. That right, Chelsea, you are a mom, you're a wife, you're a business owner, you're a coach, you're a teacher, you're a speaker, right? You're never not all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So even at Target, like you're walking to Target. You could run into somebody that's like, oh my gosh, I'm so-and-so, you taught a class, da-da-da-da. Yeah. Right. So I just hate it when people try to keep everything so separate. So I don't think I made this phrase up. But I found somebody one day talking about passive branding. And I don't think the way they talked about it was the way I've shifted to create what I do. But I think that if we passively brand ourselves, and so what I mean by that is I could do a video tonight about I'm taking my wife out on a date tonight. And so I could do a video while we're in the car. That's more about marriage, right? I could be pounding dads to like, guys, date your wife. Like what you did to get her, you better keep doing it if you want to keep her, right? That could be my video.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have reminded them about like how awesome my day was. And guys, I'm so excited for date night because I got to be a guest on a podcast this morning. And so we can work things in just in conversation, just throw little nuggets out there that remind people what we do for a living and how we have the ability to help, right? A realtor could easily be doing a video about anything, right? You could be tasting your new wine that you just found.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have said, you know what? I deserve this because I showed 84 bajillion houses today. And so you just threw that little nugget in.
Yeah, right? Or this is so good. It's going to go on my list of gifts to give to people when they close their house. Yeah.
That's right.
I love it.
Just remind them. And then also our background, you know, mm-hmm. I know this is a podcast, so they're not going to be able to see, but I've earned clients just because of what's behind me.
I totally can relate. My videos, I have shelves in my videos on purpose. Yeah. I told the people putting it together, I was like, listen, people are going to look and they're going to comment on like little things right behind the shelves. So you're totally right. It's a subtlety. Like we don't need to be so, you know, here we go. Here's exactly what I do. I mean, that is old sales training speak. Yes.
Right.
We need to tell people what we do and where we're at. But let me tell you a story that I tell all the time. For 4 years, every single day I shot a video and I still do this, but I do it in a different environment. I had my company logo behind my face. Like literally it took up the whole screen. Zero people knew where I worked. They still thought I was a realtor. I'm like, so, you know, there's just, that's all that I cared about is that they remembered me for real estate and social media.
Right.
That people, you know, even if you're like, here's my logo. They are not going to remember your logo. They're going to remember you and what you talk about. And even if you're sitting in front of your logo, right? So I just realized that that's not making, it's not impacting. It's they're listening to what I'm saying And right. if it's something other than a logo, like, you know, some interesting piece of art in the background, I collect skulls. I'm sure you know that, know, people will notice these little things and then they'll send me pictures and be like, hey, I was thinking of you because I saw this today. And so it's okay to like, let those pieces of who you are show.
That is passive branding at its finest.
I love it. I love that term. I like that. That's really good. Okay. So what is content compounding?
Yeah. So this is a, can I give you the abridged version of the full story?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I, you're truly a social media expert. I don't, even though that's a title that I have now, I feel like I'm more of a relationship expert and I've just learned how to leverage that through social media would be really more how I classify myself. And so I'm always trying to figure out like, how do I simplify this for people? How do I make the light bulb go off? Right. And so about 2.5 years ago, I just thought, man, if I can just get people to do a video, there's so much other stuff that can be pulled out of that, right? You can transcribe it into a blog. You can take short videos out of the long video. You can pull quotes out of the video and use those in you know, static content. And so I created this formula that I called content compounding and I taught it for 2 years. I just taught it everywhere I went. And that was all it ever was. And my goal was right to just start, right? Maybe your next step is if you're actually already doing video, man, jump into Canva, make a YouTube thumbnail and just throw it on YouTube. Don't worry about tags and all of the stuff that YouTube says you need to be successful. Like, let's just take the next right step. And so that was what I created. And when COVID hit, I was actually with Marky Lemons Ryle.
Shout out to Marky. We love her.
The day before the shutdown, we were in Baltimore, Maryland. And when that happened, I lost 60% of my revenue. Overnight, and it was awful. And I didn't want to be the guy that was like, honey, it's just going to be back to normal. We're going to, you know, I wanted to take action. So about 3 months later, one of my coaching clients, she called me and said, hey, I love this content compounding thing, but I don't have time. So I'm going to find a teenager and then will you train them?
It's always a teenager.
It's
always a teenager.
And so literally the moment she said that, it was like God punched me in the head and was like, bro, you're so dumb. Why have you taught this? And that's how God talks to me. He calls me bro. I really do.
I love it.
And he said, dude, why aren't you doing this for people? And that was my light bulb moment. Where I thought, oh my gosh, why have I taught this for 2 years, but just never even thought about having a service that would do it for people.
That's awesome.
And so that's content compounding literally is if you will just commit to doing video, right? I cannot replicate your voice. I cannot know your tone. I can't tell your jokes. I can't copy your mannerisms, your quirkiness. So I can't do what you need, in my opinion, on social media without actually having pieces of you.
Right.
And that's what we've created through content compounding. And so we're helping people have omnipresence in their brand because they're giving us 4 videos and we give them 31 pieces of content back every month.
Do you know what I love so much about what you just said?
What?
I say this line to everyone every day. Every class I do, this is the line I say. I said, hi, it's 2020 now. Hi, it's 2021. You can no longer outsource your brand. And you are a company who says, yeah, just so you know, you can't outsource your brand, even though we're gonna help you with the outsourcing of it. I love that. Like, I love that you're like, yeah, listen, if you really want this to be successful, we need you in it. We need you in part of it. And that is just like, I hope that's the light bulb moment that people are taking away is that in 2021, there is a human expectation that we are going to see who you are, because if we don't, we're going to move on to somebody we do. And yes. So I love that. I love that you are an outsourcing company who's like, well, maybe like 95%. We need 5% of you.
Well, and let me tell you, I fought this concept for years because I've always been the guy that anytime someone said, I pay someone to post for me, I don't even ask them who it is. What do they do? My instant answer is stop.
Yeah. We just like cringed. We're like,
right. Stop. No. Right. Cause realtors will go, well, I have this company that they put like 2 blogs a week on my business page. And my first question is, have you ever read any of those blogs? And if you're not reading the own posts, like your own posts that are on your page, why on earth would anybody else? Mm-hmm. And so, man, this has been kicking and screaming, but I do think it's the closest we can get to allowing people to keep their own brand in front of people, but minimize just some of the busyness and the creative part that maybe is just not your skill set, or it's just not smart from a money perspective. Yeah. To be in Canva for 2 hours a day. So
I love that. That's amazing. That. Well done. Congratulations on that
Thank
launch.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to move into some of your taglines that I have written down from.
Oh man, here we go.
So I do want to talk a little bit about, and this was from your interview with Marky. You said, you know what? You know, when we're branding ourselves, we always think we have to come from a place of success and credibility and authority. And oftentimes that's where our content starts, because we went to a conference 3 years ago that said, you need to let people know that you're the expert. So you kind of had a little twist on this, which I really liked. And you said, listen, speaking from a place of success may or may not be working for you. So Tell us a little bit about that conversation that you had with Marky.
Yeah. So again, my background as a pastor, right? I was always used to watching videos during service, right? About, you know, the heartbreak of a family that we came alongside of as a church and helped or whatever. And so all the videos were always, there was pain involved before there was triumph. Mm-hmm. And I read a lot of psychology stuff, and I'm always, you know, thinking more about the mental side than anything else. And so in my processing and watching social media, if we believe that most people aren't satisfied with where they are in life, which I think is true, and I don't like that, but I think it's true, it's hard for me to be genuinely happy for you when I'm not happy with me. And so if all of your content is check out my new listing, check out me at closing, yeah, we broke a record, we sold 11 homes this month. Even if your heart is in the right place, if we don't tell the story correctly, you can paint people against you rather than for you, because your posts constantly remind them of where they're not. That's as really opposed to being celebratory for you.
I think that's a really, you know, powerful concept. And I really want people that are listening to just think about that too, because we, you know, the same thing. A lot of people say, are you really always this happy? And truly I am.
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, I've shared a lot of my, you know, personal struggles this last year with mental health and mental illness. Right. And the conversations that I've had from those types of posts have blown me away. Nothing that I ever would have expected. And, you know, I am very, I'm sure as you are, very concerned as a parent, you know, what does the world, the bubble of social media suggest to people and creating perceptions and things like that. So it's not that we're saying don't celebrate your successes,
correct,
right? It's thinking about how we can include some of those other parts of the story. So how would you suggest that agents do that?
So there's a few questions that you can ask yourself. So I would say before you're going to post, right, you put in your picture, you put in your video, you put in your copy, and then you look at it. And I would ask the question, what's missing to truly help people connect? All right, because think about it like this. you just close, you know, a realtor just closed on a property. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting at the closing table, they're experiencing the emotion of picking through multiple offers or the offer falling through a month ago. And then the wife wanted to just quit and just be done. And you talked them off the ledge. And so as they're signing these papers and you're clicking the photo, you're experiencing just this overwhelming sense of emotion, sadness, joy, exhaustion, just being glad that it's over, right? So you're experiencing all of this. You might even be on the verge of tears depending on the situation. But on social, all it ends up being is a picture.
Yeah.
And then it says, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, for allowing me to help you buy or sell your house.
Yeah.
And you're so proud, right? Because again, you're feeling all the feels. But as the consumer, all I see is potentially another braggy post that you made more money today. And so we've got to be aware, I think, of context.
Yeah, at least a post that I don't relate to, because maybe I'm not in the mood of wanting to buy a house at the time, you know? I think it's just, you know, you just kind of scroll past it. You kind of get blind to those things.
You could just be completely numb to all of that content. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always asking, what context do I need to give to help the full picture make sense? Mm-hmm. How did I help them win? Right? Them being the client. What nugget could I add that, because of my uniqueness in this industry, I brought to the table that helped them be successful? Or what did I sacrifice to make this moment possible?
Right.
What do I need to talk about? Like, I remember when the email, I was laying in bed one morning and I was having a really sad morning. I was just being Debbie, just Debbie Downer. And I rolled over, I grabbed my phone, and I had an email from NAR. That said, congratulations, you've been chosen to speak. And the what I wanted to do was just pull out my phone and go, guess what, everybody, I'm speaking at NAR, woo. But I stopped and I thought, man, I need to tell the story of just all the disappointments and the things I didn't get invited to speak at, and then allow the celebration to be that much more powerful. And that post got like 800 likes.
Yeah, that's awesome. And
it probably would have had 30 or 40 if I just would have simply celebrated myself.
Yeah, the important word that you said is context. And I had the darndest time trying to explain in very simple terms. Like, I just look at my son and I'm like, can I explain it to him that he will understand what this word means, right? And in no disrespect to anyone that's listening, like, no, I'm not trying to say that you have to distill it down to be a child level. That's how my brain works. I need that. So I thought, well, how can I explain context? And I just explained it as, it's how you make your content have meaning to people's heads and their hearts at the same time.
Right.
And that's, like, I think the magic combination. So I love that you just gave us some amazing examples of how you can take a post that you might just put out there and make it more connective and relatable. That's awesome. Okay.
What I've learned is, you know, again, if you study the brain, right? Like, our brain was designed, I mean, you go back to cavemen, right? Our brain was designed for just like fight or flight. Like, it wasn't overly sophisticated. It was very plain and simple. And so I just think, with what you just said, you know, if we want things to stick, we've got to keep it simple because our brains weren't designed to be overly analytical all the time, right? Yeah. Especially, literally designed like, there's a dinosaur, go that way. Right.
Especially when you're seeing a ton of dinosaurs stampeding through your feed, you know, just need to like have something that's, yes, I love it. I am with you. I think you and I are social media rule breakers because we're like, don't look at your insights. Don't worry about that stuff. Let's just be simple. Let's just keep it real. I love that. Okay. So I want to end in talking about your social media triangle, but one thing I want to talk about before we get there is, why is sales training, right? And I went to a million sales training things. I've been in the industry for 21 years before we had social media. So before we had social media, we would go to the conferences, we would sign up, we would do the coaching, been to every single one under the sun. And coaching is amazing. Like coaching is absolutely incredible to help you get systems and get motivated. So when you talk about specifically sales training, why is this maybe something that is standing in the way of our success on social media?
Sure. So I will say, I'm writing my book right now and my editor, he was like, why are you just bashing sales training? Like, that's not the right way to say this in your book. So I am changing the way this is ultimately going to come out. I do run my mouth and I go live all the time. So I just have to take it for what it is. You know, what I believe is, I think when you look at just the real estate space, right? Like some of the greatest training companies in the world exist inside of the real estate bubble.
Absolutely.
Right. So the men and women that wear the realtor badge that walk our country are some of the greatest trained salespeople on the planet.
Agreed.
And for so many reasons, that's a great thing, right? But I think if we're not careful, we will allow sales training to train the humanity out of us. And we will turn into sales robots, real estate robots. And all we know how to talk about is just real estate. And so the reason I made that statement was because if we just take all of that training and then look at social media as a new shiny object to leverage that training, you will lose every single time. Because people don't want to be sold to, they want to be loved on. And so we've got to, so that was kind of what I was trying to get at is you've got to have the ability to turn the sales button off when you're on social so that people genuinely can see that you care about them. Because if I do a really great video, but at the end of every video, I go, so remember Kyle Draper with Content Compounding, I just literally revealed to everyone my real motives for why I did that video. So that's my take.
Yeah. And I knew that's where you were going with it. Because I talk a lot about, you know, not getting out your list of people and going to the DMs and, you know, sending like this automated sales pitch. And even if it's polite, I call it polite spam, you know, hey, if there's anything I can do to help you, if you know anybody, that sort of thing. So I call it polite spam. And, you know, the hard part is that in my mind, sort of like that inbox, that direct message is like my sacred space. And it starts this negative brand impression that I have. And so I think that's, I'm not trying to interpret what you were saying, but I'm thinking that's where you're kind of going is like, hey,
absolutely.
You know, like the idea of prospecting, massively important. The idea of being an excellent negotiator, of understanding how to market yourself and sell and having a coach, absolutely 1000% valuable and necessary and needed. You know, and I think you take those amazing qualities and tactics and skills that you learn. And when the time is right, you then apply them. Right. So 100%. Sometimes you have to, you know, time is right. And we forget, you know, we forget because you're on your phone or you're on technology and you probably wouldn't walk into, you know, a quote unquote old fashioned networking meeting and immediately say, hi, I'm Chelsea. And then go into like a, you know, you'd be like, hey, do you have kids? Oh, great. Where do they go to school? You know, something like that. At least like some small talk to know each other.
Well, so think about it like this. So I love that you called it polite spam. I think that's brilliant. So let's say a realtor does 300 polite spam videos a year that they send through Messenger, right? Well, my take would be, so my favorite thing to coach is birthday videos. Mm-hmm. And so I teach my people, we don't write on people's walls. We send them private videos so they know this is about you and I. I'm not trying to pimp out your newsfeed for my benefit. And then I sing happy birthday to you with the filter on to look silly. And so think about, guys, the power for everybody listening. 300 polite spam versus 300 personal birthday videos. I just believe, and because I have the people to show what it's done for them, 300 birthday videos might bring you 5 or 6 new transactions a year. And still, Chelsea, still, I have realtors that go, but what do you think if I just record like an 11-second generic birthday video and I send that to everybody? I want to rip my head out, like rip my head off my body. You don't get it.
You have to do the unscalable sometimes to make magic happen. And here's an example, right? So I had somebody reach out to me the other day, and a lot of people think that when they reach out to me, they're just going to get like some, you know, canned download or email or whatever. Yeah. And I spent a good 10 minutes sending like voice messages and giving these tips and help. And this person said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that you actually do this. Like I'm blown away." And I certainly have thought many times I should stop doing this because I'm getting overwhelmed, but I that is the unscalable. And can I do that forever? Probably not, but I sure as heck am going to try to do things that people don't expect and are like, "Wow, I can't believe you just didn't send me like something that, you know, you all send to everyone. You made this personal and you spent a lot of time doing it. Like, thank you."
Right.
And you know what?
Well, and so
those people bring more people to your community, right?
Well, so, and I've never even thought about it like this until you just explained it that way. I think to some degree, like how scalable does someone actually need to be? Mm-hmm. When you're a realtor that's trying to go from 18 transactions last year to 33 transactions this year, you don't need to be this monstrosity of scalability, right? You need little things that are scalable, but you've got to keep it about you because you're in a city serving a group of people, right? We're not talking about now I want to be in 5 states because I was in 1 state. And so I think scalability has kind of become one of those like sexy words that everyone wants to be able to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's not always necessary.
I think that's a really good insight. That is awesome. Okay. So last thing we're going to talk about before we say goodbye to everyone is you had this really cool visual that I watched on one of your trainings. And I know we probably don't have enough time to go into it in detail, but sure. I thought it was really great how you explained it. And basically it looked like a triangle and you had these different levels and you called it your social media triangle. So tell everybody kind of what that philosophy is.
Yeah. So briefly, it's about, we have to understand the place we have in people's lives to then know the permission we have for what we can say. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think in nature, by like just the way we are, we want to just jump straight into stuff. And if I think you're doing something wrong, then I need to just tell you, right? And we almost act as if we deserve things instead of having earned things. And so my triangle is trying again to be super simple because I'm not that smart. Right. And so I walk people through like, guys, if you're not just being playful and creating engagement with people, like you're missing out, you know, even in content compounding, we send out 3 like playful type holiday graphics every month. Right. So we're celebrating National Pie Day and we're celebrating National Coffee Day. And we have clients they go, "I don't need those. I don't do that stuff in my business." And I want to punch them in the face because they just don't get it, right? Like they think they've got to be uber professional, super buttoned up and proper and perfect all the time. When the reality is the neighbor that's going to see you in your boxer shorts when you go get the mail is the same neighbor that's going to be on your social media accounts. And so we've got to find just an easy way to engage. And so that's the whole start is you've got to figure out how to engage. And then from engagement, you can move into value, right? Value is where, you know, what you teach a lot is where education comes in, right? Educate, educate, educate. Well, as we educate, we begin to earn influence in people's lives, right? And so now, as we reach that influence zone, now people are actually paying attention. They value what we're saying. They start sharing our stuff. And then through influence, we can get to what I call the vision zone. The vision zone is where I can begin to cast vision about my hopes for the future. And people are going to start coming alongside me going, dude, what do I got to do to help your kids get to Disney World next year? I saw that was on your vision board. Like, how can I help? We've got to earn people wanting to be there. And then that just takes you to really the final stage, which is creating walking ambassadors. There's a book called The Go-Giver. That's a brilliant book and it's super short. So if you're not a reader, you could still read it in a day.
It's a great book.
And they talk about creating walking ambassadors in our business. So for example, I'm a walking ambassador for you. Like your name, your Instagram tag is in a bunch of my presentations because I thought, why would I try to re-articulate what Chelsea already does so naturally? And so I just tell people, if you're not following her, you're dumb. You know, we've never hung out. We've never met in person, right? But because of who you are, because of your content, because you desire to serve, it's brought me along as someone that is willing to fight for your future without us having ever even really known each other. That's the power of this triangle or any other way that somebody would choose to do it.
That's right. I mean, my best relationships, honestly, are with some people that I've never met. And I mean, we have talked every day for 6 years. I just watched somebody that I've never met, but I've talked to every day for 6 years, get married on social media. Wow. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like crying. I'm like, I've never even met this person. So yes, I love that. So the takeaway is, you know, be human in 2021, connect with people. It's honestly the only way we've been able to connect with people this year. And that's, I think, going to continue on. So as we close out the show, tell people where they can find you, where they can follow you, how they can hire you, where they can find content. I'll put all of that in the show notes as well.
Okay, great. Guys, you can find me. I'm Coach Kyle Draper on all social media platforms. You can go to kyledraper.com and get more information about content compounding. My number is on there. There's a million ways to find me. I try very hard to not be hidden. And so anything I can do to serve any of you, please reach out. I'd be happy to talk to you.
I love it. Well, thanks for coming on the show today. This definitely is going down as one of my favorite episodes for 2020. So very excited to have you. It was really amazing. And I'm sure this is going to resonate with a lot of people that are listening. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll see you next time, everyone. Bye.